Etherpad.
Okay, so we are live now. So hi everyone. Sorry, we were doing some last minute verification with Blaine and we wanted to share screens, but somehow the Firefox gods are not in our favors today. So hi Blaine, how are you doing?
I'm doing great, Will. This has been a great conference. I've seen some talks this morning that are going to change my life. I just can't wait to start applying some of the packages I've learned about.
That's amazing. And it's only day one. We've got more of this coming for day two.
Exactly.
So, Blaine, we haven't had a chance to tell you, but do you have the pad open on your end?
Let's see.
Because I asked you to close Firefox, so you don't have it. Do you need the URL, maybe?
Yeah, that'd be great.
I will put it into BBB, the chat right on your left.
Okay, I see it. So if I click on this and open a new window.
Yes, don't worry about it.
Okay, so I have some questions. Oh, that's fantastic. This is kind of a silly question, but I'm curious. Do you have a favorite color theme? So I do. I've been using a color theme that is sort of light green. It's from a set of themes that Prot put together and made available this fall on Melpa. And in some of the slides, you'll see that I have this like white background, but I'm currently using a sort of a mint green color, which I find actually has great contrast. And I had to install some fonts that for the Mac to be able to use that theme, but Prot provides detailed instructions, and it was pretty easy to do. Okay. Let's see. To your knowledge, the second question is, to your knowledge, are recent coming security changes in Chrome going to impact browser extension? Ooh, that's a great question. I don't know. I'm not aware of that issue because I installed some extension that I probably shouldn't have installed in Chrome a couple weeks ago, and I've been getting pop-up ads, and so I switched to Firefox. but so far, I have used Ghost Text in a number of browsers. I can vouch that it works in Safari, Chrome, obviously Firefox, Brave, and then amongst the Firefox family of browsers, there's WaterFox and IceCat. It works in those too. So if Chrome's security issues become a problem, then there are other browsers that for which maybe that problem won't be an issue. Is this a browser agnostic, or do you have to use Chrome? That's a good question. Obviously, it works in a number of other browsers. There's probably at least 10 other browsers in which it will work. So there's sort of three families of extensions, one for Safari, one for Firefox, and one for Chrome. And often one of those extensions will work in a different browser. Fourth question is, you mentioned a couple other solutions to allow Emacs editing of text areas, pointers. unfortunately, I didn't do my due diligence in researching those other solutions. I'm aware that there's something called Emacs Everywhere that's supposed to have a similar capability. But I haven't dug into using it, so I can't say anything about it. So because you're setting up a server from an editor and you have this extension in a browser, things don't always mesh. You may have port 4001 occupied by some other server from Emacs or another application. And so you have to, sort that out. that can happen from time to time. I've had trouble with the Emacs server sometimes using that port, but I think you can redirect that Emacs server to another port to avoid that issue. that would be the greatest difficulty, is just getting the two sides talking to each other through the WebSocket. But once that's going, I use it every day, and I'll go for weeks without any issue. And then of course I'll be changing something in my Emacs configuration, where I'm turning on some new server that fires up when I start Emacs, and then I break it or something along those lines. But the great hazard of fiddling with your Emacs configuration. Just a hazard of being an Emacs user. Let's see. Why not save text? Let's see. So I have a fifth question, which is why not save text from Emacs? I would like to hear some solution to the issue I ran into. So if I am editing a document in a web browser and then via Emacs, and I save that to a document on disk, that's great if that's, I'm not going to make any more changes, everything's fine, that works great. But if I then decide to make more changes in the browser, and then I try to save those changes, the copy on disk is out of sync with the copy in the browser, and I've had the connection break when I do that. So there, I heard that there might be a way of solving that problem. I have not implemented the solution. I forget what the suggestion was. Maybe somebody in the audience has an idea.
Speaking of the audience, we have opened up the chat now. So if you want to join the current BBB room in which we are and ask questions directly to Blaine, feel free to do so. Otherwise, we're still taking questions on the pad as long as we have them. Although right now, I think we have answered all of them. Am I wrong, Blaine, or did we answer all of them already?
You're correct. We've answered all of them.
Cool. So we're going to still discuss for about 2-3 minutes. If people want to add last questions to the pad, feel free to do so. If you want to join us in BBB, the link is at the top of the talk of Blaine. You go to Emacs of 2022. You know everything now. We are at the end of the day, and you can tell it's the end of the day because my accent is getting significantly Frencher as a result. It's not getting any better since last year, I think. I wish I could contribute, Blaine, more to your talk, but I feel like I'm way out of my league. I'm the guy who plays with Org on the side, and I tune into your talks every year, and I see molecules, and I see stuff that I can barely comprehend, and I feel very humbled as a result.
Well, I'm just trying to, make my talks kind of unique.
Yeah, but you are succeeding amazingly well. It reminds me, have you been talking with John Kinchin or something? Because you seem to be evolving in similar fields in a way with Emacs.
I'm a fan of his. I have installed Cymax and his configuration for Emacs, and I have, I've just started poking around with it, and I've used it, his configuration. I've got it up and running, and I have I've used Ghost Text with it. I was trying to tap into his OrgRef package, which is super powerful for managing bibliographies. He's very inspiring.
I'm glad to feel very much inspired. Go on, please.
Yeah, he's very amazing. He's very accomplished in Emacs and very accomplished teacher. And he has now, as you probably know, a series of videos on YouTube that he's been putting together about programming. So he's teaching students at Carnegie Mellon University how to program in Python via Emacs. And he has been sharing these videos on YouTube. And they're like just 20-minute videos, kind of short snippets, but you can learn a lot from them. So really fantastic.
It's an amazing journey, isn't it? You start from a field that has nothing to do whatsoever with Emacs, and yet you find yourself so attracted to the idea of programming and making your workflow easier that you end up actually transitioning into a little bit of a programming role or teaching programming role. I mean, I was studying literature. I was all well and good in my English faculty. And then I decided to say, oh yeah, let's try Emacs. And 10 years later, I find myself spending more time working on Emacs than working on my literature papers.
Well, my history is that I developed a dozen years ago, I started teaching students how to do molecular graphics. And then I got into Python programming to develop tools to make it easier for them to use molecular graphics. And then that evolved into making these snippets available for a wide range of text editors. That meant learning so I prepared these snippets for about 20 different text editors, leading ones. And of course, I saved for the end Emacs. First, I went through Vim, and you know, the month of hell of rewiring your brain to do the Vim key bindings, and then on to Emacs, the which I call the ultimate text editor. And because there is no other text editor beyond Emacs, it's the end of the line. And
I absolve you for your herrings with Vim as a result of the last comment you just made. I have no right of absolution. I cannot grant you absolution. You'll have to ask RMS tomorrow.
Well, I spent a year, you know, in evil mode, but I switched about half a year ago to just Emacs key bindings. Bye-bye Vim. I mean, I use Vim when I log into like remote servers and have to edit something really quick, but I've probably forgotten most of the key bindings. There's only about a dozen you really need to know to get the essential work done. But yeah, it's been quite a journey.
Yeah.
Very unusual for a biochemist.
Right. So sorry for the interruption. We do have a very simple question about what was the key binding for Linux Firefox? Do you have it on top of your mind?
So Linux Firefox.
I'm not sure what they're referring to as well, which is why I threw you this curveball, hoping that it would make sense for you.
Yes. It's Control-Shift-H. Control-Shift-H.
I hope. Whoever asked this question on ISE, I hope this answers your questions. So I think Control-Shift-H, yes. Okay, well, Blaine, I see some people have joined on BBB, but no one with a microphone still. I will chide you at the end. We are reaching the end of the day, we are reaching closing remarks, and I will be making a plea for more people to join with a microphone. Last year, we had pretty much the same setting. We were opening the room afterwards, and people were showing up with the microphones, and we had lovely discussions. And this year, it feels like everyone's a little shy. Students, you know, that's the whole point is for you to talk and for us all to listen. Well, Blaine, that was very insightful. Thank you so much for both the presentation and the questions. Go on.
We have a question in the panel on the left and in blue button. Right. So how long have I been using Emacs? I made a commitment to use it full time about 18 months ago, maybe 20 months ago. So I'm a newbie. I'm still in the steep part of the learning curve.
Yeah, you just have to, okay, for providing context for the people, Blaine presented something at the last year's Emacs Conf, and it was as impressive as this year's presentation. And afterwards, he told us, oh yeah, I've been using Emacs for 6 months or so. And that's where everyone's jaws dropped to the floor, because, you know, some people who've been using Emacs for 10 years and we couldn't even imagine doing some of the stuff you're doing with it.
Thank you.
Do we have any other question? I think that's pretty much it. I'm not seeing anything appear on the other screen. I think we're pretty much good. So Blaine, I'm not going to keep you any longer. We are probably going to bring this Q&A to a close. Thank you so much for all your answers. What are we going to do for the stream? We still have a talk going on the dev channel currently. And then we'll be going to the closing remarks for the day at about 55 of the current hour. So we are going on a break for 20 to 25 minutes. So Blaine, sorry for keeping you hostage as I'm making the announcement, but it's the best way for people to see my face as I do it. So,
okay, thank you very much, Leo. Appreciate it.
And thank you so much for all your time and all your answers. I will be closing BBB now, and we will put some music on and some announcement, and see you at the top of the hour for the others, or 55 rather than top of the hour. All right. Bye-bye, everyone. Bye-bye, Blaine.